Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Point of View with Phimelo Mudine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It's 3 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome to Point of View. My name is Phimelo Mudine. We'll be here until 10. We are on the campaign trail ourselves to the elections 2024. And as you know, we've been going through the manifestos of the political parties, various political parties. We'll also look at what they plan to do in the province. We'll do that in the second hour. But we have the ANC again here in studio with us, and this time we have the First Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, Nombula Mokonyane. Thank you so much for coming through. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Phimelo, and good evening to the Kaya listeners. Thanks for hosting us.
Well, it's actually a pleasure because we've been watching you on the campaign trail, and we've been watching just how the ANC machine, and everybody talks about this, you know, say what you will about the ANC, but their machine is well oiled, especially at a time like this. One of the things that you've been known for is how present you are on the branches, in the branches of the ANC, on the ground and so on. But this is different, is it not? When you meet people who are not necessarily ANC members, what has surprised you the most about their feedback?
One of the things that has surprised us, but again, knowing the ANC, is dealing with the myth that people are angry, people don't want to see leaders of the ANC. In actual fact, when you go in, many would say, welcome home. Others will say, why are you coming now? And others will say, there are challenges, but I will give you another chance. Mm-hmm. And of course, majority are the ones who are saying, together with yourselves, we know where we come from, and moving forward, let's endorse what you have put on your manifesto, mm-hmm. something that is very unique with this manifesto, mm-hmm. the issue of accountability, mm-hmm. The issue of monitoring and evaluation, mm-hmm. so that then you don't go back to door to door after 5 years. And hence, in our manifesto, in the area of accountability, we have made it a commitment that at most we will go annually, so that the State of the Nation address becomes, again, a platform not only of the president addressing, but the ANC having gone out back to the communities, interacted with communities, because I'm sure, Phimelo, you'll also appreciate that it was for the first time this time where we went on a massive review of the 2019-2024 manifesto, mm-hmm. precisely because we have learned out of our challenges. Mm-hmm. And when you go into people's homes, villages, informal settlements, townships and suburbs, what is quite humbling is that our renewal is on course. Mm-hmm. And we were correct to identify those areas that we had to deal with faster and in a much more effective way. So that consultation on the 2019-2024 manifesto review had laid the foundation. And when we then went post the Maihlome launch by Comrade President, South Africans were waiting for us. Mm. And I think what is surprising is, wow, sometimes you may be miserable sitting at home going through social media and think the world has turned upside down.
Yeah. And so I want to make a distinction between those you see who are just general, ordinary South Africans, as you are saying, who mm-hmm. are saying, where have you been? Mm-hmm. We've been waiting for you. We understand your struggle. We want to talk. And your actual constituency, mm-hmm. where I saw a video clip where you were talking to your constituency and you were saying, thank you. Thank you to the volunteers who come here, who don't have jobs and positions and continue to come here. And you are saying to them, things will be better. You come here because you have the understanding things will be better. What's your promise to them? What will be better?
It's not even a promise. It's a commitment. Mm-hmm. Because our priority number one in this manifesto is about a jobs plan. Mm-hmm. A jobs plan that would not restrict those that do not have experience, those that do not have skills. It will not also exclude those that have not been employed for the past 10, 15 years. I met a volunteer in Eteguini.
Yes.
Who said, I've been a volunteer for 15 years.
Yes.
I'm unemployed. Mm. But the reason why I'm doing this thing, I know 7 other people who now work for Eteguini.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is also employed at King Shaka.
Mm-hmm.
And I had thought my age has actually condemned me to be no longer employed. But thanks God that in the ANC's manifesto, the issue of age has now been put aside in terms of us prioritizing the 18 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are the things that are humbling. And these are, like you say, you heard me saying this thing. These are the people who know the community.
Mm.
These are the people who come from the ANC branches.
Mm.
They are not elected members,
mm-hmm.
but it is because of their continuous understanding.
Mm.
Like this comrade who has been unemployed for 15 years. Today, when I left Lutuli House, I was exhausted trying to sneak out and go home. I bumped onto 4 ex-combatants of Umkhontoweses.
Mm.
All that they'd come to ask for was to get money so that they can go and put up posters.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah? And they said, yeah, as for the next, you know, we want to go and work. 2 of them have never been employed.
Mm.
And they were saying, no, at least it won't honor because now we're part of these interventions by the Gauteng government.
Mm.
The Nazi span.
Mm.
And then the other ones, all of them combined, have now also applied in the labor absorption program
mm.
that has been launched by the Department of Labor, which is different from your EPWP
yes.
and Community Works program.
Yeah.
So it is those things that give people hope.
So the problem is that often people don't criticize the policies of the ANC. People are very clear about mm. them and they understand them. It's you've been in government. It's a disjuncture sometimes.
Implementation.
Of what would be ANC policies being translated into living people's experiences and how that machine doesn't always go together at the same time. And more importantly also is that jobs actually essentially are created by capital. Not by government. Government, yes, to some extent, but you also rely on capital, which doesn't comply, which doesn't play nicely, and holds on to its money.
Just like we've seen with what has happened in the Western Cape, that double-story building, we are told allegedly that most of the people employed there are non-South Africans.
Yes.
And allegedly not documented. But this labor absorption program mm. that is now led by the Department of Labor, its intention is to partner with the private sector.
Mm.
That's why we're saying it is much more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
It is about placements in the private sector with the Department of Labor contributing towards your wages and you being skilled. And it is about absorbing a pool of South Africans that ordinarily they would not have been employed because the private sector would have said, we can't afford. We want to expand, but we can't afford the salary scale that we would have to comply with. So in line with what you are raising, our intention is to ensure that we deal with those things. The issue about reindustrialization of our economy
mm-hmm.
is also one of the big things. The area of logistics, I'm sure you saw Comrade President a few weeks ago going to KwaZulu-Natal
mm-hmm.
sorting out the issues around logistics, rail and freight, as areas that require intervention.
Mm-hmm.
The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, just a few months ago, you know that we were engulfed with the issues of Zamazamas and the atrocities that happened in Kagiso. There's now a program that has been put in place to rehabilitate the mine dams, to bring in communities into the mining sector. And that work is also targeting the communities within which these mines exist. Finally, the most important thing that we have to agree on is protecting these policies by voting for the ANC so that then we improve our implementation, which has been an issue of dissatisfaction from South Africans. And hence, in our manifesto again for 2024, in the last chapter, we also talk about implementation, how there has to be collaboration and cooperation with different stakeholders through, amongst others, strengthening the role of NEDLAC as a very important a body for civil society, for government, and for the private sector, and together being able to also strengthen local government, because that is the sphere that can also help us to get new opportunities, create new industries, and ensure that there is compliance. So these are the things that we are dealing with beyond policy. Policy Absolutely. Is correct. Issues is about implementation and operationalization.
I know that you've mentioned the fact that, you know, first price is not to go into a coalition in this government, is to win majority so that you don't have to deal with coalition issues. We've seen how those pan out in local government and make it very, very difficult actually to manage certain things. Well, if you do have to go into coalitions, it makes your job even more difficult, the implementation job, because you'd know in government, it's not only just the moving from ANC policies into government. Now, when you go into coalition, you're going to have to negotiate even those
policies.
Absolutely, those policies. Does it mean that in the event you have to negotiate, you have to align yourself with political parties that will align to your policies? Is that a position that the ANC is going to take, or not necessarily you'll talk to anybody?
You'll remember that in the ANC's discussions around the evolution of democracy and governance in South Africa, a process that has been led by Comrade David Makura as the head of political education, we emphasized the issue of respect for the will of the people. That a party that gets the highest, irrespective of the percentage, that has to be the immediate party that must be able to protect and promote what is their primary mandate, including on how government gets constituted. But for now, we don't believe that the coalitions as they stand in South Africa respect the will of the people. And that's why, throughout, even as we now feel that, the body is giving in, we wake up every morning and work hard to get voter turnout. You'll recall we've got the biggest seats of ward councillors in Gauteng, in Tshwane, in Johannesburg, in Ekurhuleni. But because of low voter turnout, we ended up not actually getting the majority. And this is part of what we're educating South Africans, that especially our supporters, that we need everybody, family and friends, neighbors and colleagues, everybody to bring his or her part in terms of the numbers that must come out. So for now, in all our strategic reflections, the issue of coalitions doesn't exist.
Why do they say they don't turn out to vote when you engage with people on the ground?
You'll recall one of the things that was a challenge in the last local government elections that led to low voter turnout was a sudden load shedding, and a situation where also transformers were affected by illegal connections, remember, besides load shedding. So there were illegal connections and transformers collapsed in the townships, even in Kagiso, in Soweto. And when that happened,
stealing of cables,
cable theft and all those things. And that when that happens, it also affects the pumping of water. Mm. It affects the supply of water. And it was a cold week, and people decided that how do I wake up and go and vote when I don't have electricity and there's no hope and nobody's able to explain We could not also explain. Remember, even the president, when he was in Soweto with Comrade Jolly D, the late mayor of Johannesburg, they had indicated that the matter is going to be resolved, and the matter was not resolved. And hence now, the ANC's interventions was to have Comrade Kosi Ntsura Mokgupa to be the Minister of Electricity, who wakes up every day thinking about resolving these challenges and engaging with communities. And we have now started to distribute transformers. We've seen Gauteng actually stepping in, and that best practice is now being rolled out to other provinces, so that then we save our communities. But there's also community mobilization, that communities must own up, protect the cables, protect the transformers, agree to implement the user pay principle. The people of Soweto have to pay. They must enter into an arrangement, and the best way to go will be your prepaid, so that you you use that you have been able to acquire, and your consumption will be informed by what you can actually afford. So it is those things that were a problem at that point. And you'll remember that at some point we came out and said, you know, Eskom was almost our opponent, because we worked and when no one could actually give an explanation, we were affected by low voter turnout. But what is good now is these interventions that I'm saying are happening. The appointment of a ministry, the delegation of powers, which have made the comrade and his collective to work better, supported by the two other ministers, as well as how then there's collaboration between entities and provincial governments. Ordinarily, you wouldn't have had a provincial government appointing city power, for example, to be an implementing agent. Mm-hmm. It is out of the review of the 2019 to 2024 manifesto, but also part of the 30-year review, that some of the roles and powers, they have to be devolved to the lower structures, so that then there can be a faster and an effective way of intervention.
Let's take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll take your calls as well. 086-000-0959. Nomvula Mokonyane is in studio with us just to go through. They are on a really massive campaign trail now. We're almost there, 29th of May, where many of you will decide to go to the polls. We'll discuss that and many other things. And as I said, you're very welcome to pose your questions as well. 086-000-0959. Well, thank you so much for staying with us. We are in conversation with the First Deputy Secretary of the ANC, Nomvula Mokonyane, who is here as we look forward to the elections 2024. You spoke a little bit earlier about voter apathy to some extent. I am assuming some of the people that are talking to you are ANC supporters. And why do they say they'll come out this time?
One of the experiences that they've had is to live under coalition governments and under the DA. Others are actually fearful of finding themselves living under the DA or any form of coalition. Thirdly, it's because we've gone throughout to explain and share, and finally interact with everybody on how we together can shape the way forward. There's never been this extent. I've been part of the elections machinery of the ANC from inception, from 94. There's never been such an intense consultation. It also had to do with us being aware that there's also an agenda to undermine the ANC, never mind just contestation for elections, but other regime change intentions, the proliferation of new parties, the funding of non-governmental, foreign funding that is actually coming into the country, and also what we know has been a lesson learned from our sister organizations in the region, the former liberation movements, that liberation movements are given a period of 20 years, and after that there must be regime change. And we have reached 30, and therefore this must be a point of no return.
Whose agenda is it?
It's the agenda of those who are opposed to any progressive path, not only for South Africa, but also globally. One of the things that we have done is the ANC that we do not regret on. It's how we have actually took a bold stance on the Palestine Israeli situation, where even now we have opted to again go back to the ICJ. It doesn't sit well with some locally as well as others globally. But what we have also been able to do is to find consistent friends and allies who support our position, just as we have seen now recently who has come on board. So we are Pan-Africanists. We are internationalists in character, and we also are very conscious that this very democracy that we have has actually come into bear because of international solidarity. The children of Palestine supported us when they themselves had to defend themselves with stones against the apartheid defense force of Israel.
Has this newfound pressure because of our position as South Africa with regards to what's happening in Gaza, the enemies that you're referring to, newfound enemies or at least reignited, both internationally and locally, has it affected your funding?
It has. It has. It has because some assumed that material benefits would actually influence our policy stance. And we refused. And we opted to stand with the people of Palestine and stand for humanity. But what is also of importance is that it might have affected us in terms of resources, mm-hmm. but it has restored our dignity.
So who's funding you now?
Predominantly our members, and many patriotic South Africans, who are funding us within the confines of the of the Electoral Act, which has now been amended, because what has also been a constraint was the cap that was put in terms of how much you can receive, and the ANC has been one of the few, very few, parties that have been accounting and subjecting themselves to auditing by the IEC. And hence, we're quite grateful of those that have done, a bit to fund the ANC. We now also have a crowdfunding program led by our Treasurer General, which is also quite helpful. We've also seen those who are worried about the regime change agenda coming forward to say, this battle is not your battle alone. And we are quite grateful for that.
Very recently, there has been an Afrikaner formation that said they're very concerned about the country. They want to contribute. They're a group of influential Afrikaner business people and the like, and they want to engage government. Have you engaged them, and what do you make of that formation?
They've indicated that they want to engage government.
Yes. So has the ANC engaged them at all?
They've not come to the ANC.
Okay.
But I think we are an open organization that is open to talk to everybody and anybody.
Mm.
And I'm sure when they interact with government would have also learned from some of the right-wing tendencies and conservative practices, including what the Western Cape DA government is trying to do about cessation of the Western Cape from the Republic of South Africa. Firstly, we must be able to remind everybody that we strive to build a united South Africa. We must abhor racism in whatever form it wants to take. Of course, interest groups, if they are there, they must also be accommodated. But anything that comes in the form of race, we'll forever frown upon it. We've seen what happened with the genocide that happened in Rwanda. Lessons learned. Any form of tribalism, any form of ethnicity can't be the basis for people to organize themselves against the South Africans that are still on the path of building a nation.
We've all heard about, reaction from the presidency and many other quarters on that DA flag that was on their ad, that was burning, and the SABC's decision to pull down the ad and not flight it anymore. People pointing to the ANC and government saying they were instructed to. Did the ANC instruct the SABC not to flight it?
No, we didn't instruct anybody. We frowned upon that. It's an act of disobedience. It's an act of treason. It's a sign that they are not patriotic, especially in a nation where the very decision to have this flag was so consultative and inclusive. You may have issues with the ANC. You rather actually demonstrate your protest against the ANC by burning the ANC flag, not the South African flag. That you can't. It is something that we must all treasure. And the issue of the SABC, I think the SABC is better placed to can actually explain. The DA remains racist, very unpatriotic. It has opted to be the entry point for regime change. And I think it's for South Africans then at the polls to go out and make the right choice and vote for the ANC. I'm sure you've seen today, we welcomed scholars of Islam.
Yes,
they are called the Mulanas. It's a global body.
Yes.
There were participants here at the conference. But they came to hand over to the president of the African National Congress. Mm-hmm. A message that comes from that global body, noting that there will be almost 67 elections taking place throughout the world this year, but consciously resolved in their own council that they would want to call on Muslims in South Africa to take a stand and support those that promote humanity, those that have taken a bold statement, a bold stance to take apartheid Israel and its supporters head on, and that for us, in fact, it's something also that humbles us as the ANC, that we may be chastised by many, but we have a majority that agrees with us on the positions that we take.
You are in KZN for a couple of days. Does the ANC get concerned about KZN in particular with these elections?
Look, we're concerned about these elections generally. Mm-hmm. And hence our intense work is voter contact. Going house to house, door to door, meeting the voters, engaging people in sectors. And of course, also being concerned about those that want to stoke violence and cast aspersions against the IEC. And of course, you have somebody who has led and has been a member of the ANC who has now come into the space. Our focus is that we will not preoccupy ourselves with that formation, mm-hmm. but we'll focus on explaining to the people of KwaZulu-Natal, the people of Gauteng, the people of South Africa that you can't step out of the house, your own home, and say you are forming something to sort out the problems in your house.
Well, that particular person you're referring to, I'm assuming, is former President
yes.
Zuma, who's formed the MK Party, who very recently, actually, I think this weekend, still says he is an ANC member.
Anyway, ANC members know. ANC members know, and even for JZ himself, he has repeatedly said it. I'm sure you've seen his own recordings that have always said, you can't walk away from the ANC and think you can be something different. I really think it's a revelation of the state of understanding and opportunism. I think it's also opportunistic because it's about sowing confusion. Because then others believe, no, ANC and this party are the same. Well, not the same. They are the opponents of the ANC. The ANC is the African National Congress, led by President Ramaphosa, just as we had the ANC led by him. There's no ANC of Ramaphosa. It's the ANC led by President Ramaphosa. And therefore, in KwaZulu-Natal, we went out and we explained and will continue to explain. And definitely, we rely on voter turnout.
For the confusion that you're referring to, would it not have been easier for the ANC to decisively expel him, perhaps? Because I know now you've moved your engagement with him for after the elections, just to avoid this confusion.
Look, we have organizational processes that have to be followed, and the organizational processes might actually be seen to delay, you know, the inevitable. But it's better that you do that. It's better that you do that, and don't tire to follow process. And the NEC has resolved in that manner that we must not tire to follow this process. Worse when you have somebody says, I still remain a member of the ANC.
Yes.
And even when the person is fighting to be on the ballot paper. Yeah. So it's a sign again of the ANC being a very tolerant organization that believes in due processes internally, but finally a decision will be taken.
I'd like to take calls. 086-000-00959. Victor is on the line, who's calling from Soweto. Victor, thanks for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Hey, good evening, Njanima.
Good evening, Konan Janaputi.
I'm good. I also have a, I don't know, it's a question or a suggestion over Umama Labushelna.
No problem, go ahead.
Yes, recurring basically yeah, job creation, because I heard with the program that is run by the Department of Labor, sort of like NASA Fund, you know?
Yeah.
So my issue was one, which also the Department of Labor can help more create a home service by stop outsourcing the call center, their call center, sitting over more opponent of the Department of Labor. Apparently, you have been taken to another call center, and then mobile is in the, you know what happened? Then I applied for my UL. And then sometimes I would call the Department of Labor, and then those ladies and babus, the mini whereby they can't even assist me. Why can't the Department of Labor, Yona itself, here's the call center, yeah, you internally, think I just phone a little on as in the South Hour thing.
Victor?
Yes, one of the things that, and thanks, Victor, for raising this, it's about insourcing, making sure that we build capacity of the state. And that's where you see these job opportunities coming in Gauteng, where previously services that were outsourced are now insourced. And I do agree that the issues about call centers and stuff, you do need to improve the frontline service of government. And it starts with our service delivery departments, including the Department of Labor, which is very strategic, particularly for people such as Victor and many others who want to, who are entitled to be serviced by the Department of Labor. I do take note of it, and surely we'll check on the areas of work opportunities that the Department of Labor is dealing with, and will give Comrade Tula's feedback.
Okay. Sunny Boy in Benoni. Good evening and welcome, Sunny Boy.
Hello, good evening and your guest. Can you just borrow me some time of...
Go ahead, Sunny Boy, go ahead.
Yeah. Bonjour, Mrs. Mokonya. Good evening. My questions are here. The African National Congress that is running the country, you are going on campaign, going door to door, asking us to vote you guys again. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is, It took you 30 years to wake up where you are doing. I mean, I see the ICJ, you are pushing Israel to ICJ. What if I push you guys to Johannesburg Court, whereby I am saying, as a South African, some other South Africans that they don't get, I do get those services. There are some South Africans that they don't get water. There are some South Africans that are suffering. Why has they been promised a better life for all? So now, those things, what I'm talking about, you know it yourself. You once a premier, and you know all those things. Every year, we complain about this. I am giving ANC a chance to vote it again, to correct those wrongs that they are supposed to make it right to other people, that they are not having water, they are not having electricity. I am saying to you, Mam Mokonyane, I am angry and I am very, very upset because the government that is running the day is the government that looks like me. They talk my language that I am talking. I don't know what is so difficult for you guys if you are sitting wherever you are sitting and discuss us as South Africans and make us right and make us happy so that we can be proud of, you know, the government that is running our country. We are happy, although we won't be happy, all of us, like water. But I'm just saying some minor things where there are people that, even as I'm talking to you today, they're still struggling with water. There are people in KZN that you go door to door. And, you know, there are so many natural disasters. But I can tell you, you're not doing right to those people.
Sunny Boy, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much, Sunny Boy, for raising your concerns and frustrations about the ANC. And indeed, as we speak here, gathered here at Kai FM, we can attest that not every South African has got access to electricity. But we can also say almost 89.3% of South Africans today have access to electricity. Secondly, you have 82% of South Africans having access to piped water now in South Africa. We have 84% of South Africans having access to improved sanitation, almost 79% of South Africans having access to internet. A lot still needs to be done. South Africans now own property in terms of houses. They don't only own the house, they also own the land. They are the ones who own and are in possession of title deeds. So 4 million houses built, but also over and above that, there's full ownership of those properties by South Africans. We need to deal with our economy. We need to deal with how we focus on transport, how we focus on agriculture, how we focus on mining and telecommunication to build and expand our economy and ensure therefore that it should not only be through government interventions, as you have said, that we grow our economy and ensure that we deal with our inequalities. But I also appreciate that he says he's going to vote for us. And as I told you, you walk in and people say, "Angifuni ukuzwa lutho, but hlala la ngikutshela indaba zenu." And basitshela indaba zethu. And we explain, and then they say, "Yeah, we hear you. We're going to hold you accountable because you have now showed us that in your own manifesto, you have prioritized accountability."
You've just spoken about inequality. Very, very stubborn. And dare I say, I think it looks like it's growing.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
It is happening that way because our economy is a mixed economy. A mixed economy that whose foundation is strongly based on racial ownership patterns. And precisely because of that, there hasn't been a lot of government interference. A mixed economy where people decide on their own what to do and what not to do. At the end of the day, they will not prioritize what is a national priority, de-racializing our economy. Mm. You have many in our country who are now no longer employed as permanent workers. There's casualization. You see retrenchments, not out of our own choice because of where we come from. You see the post bank. We're trying to deal with the issue of the post office as the government. You see the retrenchments in Sibanye and all those kind of things. But also South Africans must remember, me and you, we had almost 2 years of COVID where everything just got affected. But where we are now, we are actually in a better position prior to COVID. And imagine if there was no COVID. It means then we would have been four times better.
Well, thank you so much for staying with us. The First Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, Nomvula Mokonyane, is here. Very happy to take your calls as well, 086-000-00959. I want to go to Slumko, who's on the line from Soweto. Slumko, good evening and welcome. Hi.
Evening.
Good evening and welcome.
My issue is the issue on the issue of township economy, especially when it comes to small businesses. I think our government is not intentional in terms of making sure that they empower our people. They are wishy-washy, and I don't know what is the problem. That's why they are not, because they are not, they don't realize that the small business or the SMMEs, they constitute a certain percentage, which is big, or a quarter of the economy, if they do support them, if they're intentional. Because now the proliferation of your Somalis or Pakistanis are taking the small businesses. And as far as big or corporate business, the big ones, it's white monopoly capital that we always talk about. So where are we going to go to if ever our government doesn't support us, is not intentional in empowering us? The second issue is the issue of what is the position of the ANC insofar as the illegal foreigners, in terms of dealing with the issue of illegal foreigners? Because also, they're not only the small businesses, but even these smaller jobs in your restaurant, waiters and waitresses, and also the in the shops, we find that they are employing the illegal foreigners again. What is the position of the ANC? Not just to engage the owners of those businesses, but in terms of making sure that it's not easy to come in and out. South Africa is a playground now. Everybody wants to come, except the illegal foreigners from within the continent, even in other countries.
Let's hurry, my brother. We've got other people waiting, ne? I think we got the
So hence I'm saying that's why the Americans they don't hesitate to send any boat and just dump people and dump anything because they play crime. Let me stop there for the sake of time.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks, Pimelo. Thanks, Lumko. The issue of the township economy, one of the things that has been emphasized, it's about promoting entrepreneurship and ensuring that also there are linkages between big business as well as government to facilitate opportunities for small business. In the township economy, the issue has been about capacity in terms of procurement and access to goods and services. In my work of doing door to door in Moses Mabhida, outside of the townships, in the villages, I was taken to a spaza shop ran by Umama Ugogo Madlamini. As part of the rollout of Operation Vula Fund of KwaZulu-Natal, she has been able to get the first tier of funding, which is a once-off grant. She built she improved her spaza shop. She now also has been assisted to get supply from the bakeries who do deliveries for her. And they are a group of about 60 spaza shops that now they are able to stock their loaves of bread. I actually have one of my video clippings helping to unpack those loaves of bread, and that on its own, they're saying it has brought so much relief because they no longer have to go to ShopRite to buy a loaf of bread and come and sell it in the village. So it's that government is doing the same here in Gauteng. There are food banks, there are storages that have been launched by the provincial government for townships, Paza shops to be able to acquire their goods, because these foreign nationals that are allowed by us South Africans, because can you imagine how does a person find his or her way to Shawela and you call him my friend, come and run his Paza shop? South Africans must also take responsibility. We've got porous borders, but we also must take ownership in terms of who do we allow and who we do not allow to come and do business in our space. Municipalities must enforce bylaws. Municipalities must enforce bylaws so that then we are able to protect our communities, the communities from acquiring goods that are not of good quality. The issue of foreign nationals, we now have the Border Management Agency under the Department of Home Affairs, led by Comrade Motsoaledi. There's a lot of work that has been done there. Remember, we have also a challenge of the history of this country. Many of some of the foreign nationals who are here are those who have actually been chucked out by the private sector in the mines and everything. They came, they sold their labor here. Once the business is done with them, they are left here and nobody makes sure that they take them back to their place of origin. Not only foreign nationals, including others coming from the other eight provinces. So yes, foreign nationals who, there's a difference between illegal immigrants and also undocumented foreign nationals, as well as foreign nationals who come because there's a particular contribution they make. But honestly, there's no reason to have them being the ones who are in our beauty industry. Yeah. There's no reason for them to be in Sango Street in Kagiso selling bread. It will be me who have allowed them to enter my home and do this kind of business. So South Africans must become patriotic. They must be proud of themselves, and we must reclaim our streets and our neighborhoods and refuse also to buy from these people and buy from our own communities.
You spoke earlier about speaking about foreigners, what's happening in George, that building collapse in George, and it does seem like there were workers there that were not documented, that were not actually accounted for. But South Africans are wondering, why is it taking so long to charge the developers, the contractors there? It seems like 7 days in and government is quite sweet about the how they're tiptoeing around the developers.
Yeah. You know what is of importance? Firstly, let me say, loss of life of anyone is unacceptable.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what our thoughts should be focusing on. But somebody must also be held accountable. Interestingly, the owners of that building decided to move away, do away with their own profile.
Yes, everywhere.
Yeah,
social media.
And the city and the provincial government of the Western Cape refused to even mention them.
Yes.
Until now, we saw on Sunday, even Helen Zille had to step in to defend this process and then say, no, this is something that you can't apportion blame and stuff. We must not be political. But there's something fishy about what has happened and how it has been conducted. And hence, we have seen Comrade Becky Cele, Comrade Sitle, the Minister of Public Works, will be going there. The Department of Labour in terms of the inspectors. But the first line of holding anybody accountable is the municipality. It is the municipality. And again, I hate to say this, if it was somewhere in a township or in a province or a municipality under the NC, it will be headlines. Some in the media do not even want to speak about it. Investigative journalism has not found who the owner is, but the owner is known. And that on its own shows how, again, as a country, as a nation, we so measured when we deal with one racial group and also with a party that says things are good in the Western Cape.
And to that, former President Thabo Mbeki speaks about a national dialogue that needs to happen. I don't know. I think that's probably his agenda. But the ANC does see these racialized, you spoke about racialized economy, for instance, and then many other problems. We did get political freedom, but the economy has not shifted. And you speak about something that South Africa is very shy to discuss. What has to happen? Because I suspect we can't keep holding off for too long.
Yes. Remember, we had the National Development Plan 2030. Mm. Not 30 years of democracy.
Got you.
NDP, yeah. 2030. Mm-hmm. We do need to prepare ourselves to come back and dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had the NDP and we entered into a dialogue.
Yeah.
And all of us talked about social justice, talked about political stability in that period, and then saying that must lay the foundation for the second transition, which is about economic development and inclusivity. Mm. And I think South Africans, all of us, must go back to those principles of the National Development Plan and say, how do we then prepare for what we all support and we believe it has to happen? Even the 30-year review that has just been released speaks about that we need to then come together, not on the 30-year, but on the 2030 vision.
Mm.
But start now, because everybody says it must happen. By 2030, we should be able to say what next. So it's we must never cease to talk to each other as South Africans, because we believe in dialogue. Our own conflict, contradictions in this country were resolved through negotiations. Mm. And therefore, every now and then, we must continue to interact.
A quick one from Sposiso. I'm so sorry, I'm going to ask you to rush quickly through your question. Good evening and welcome. Sposiso?
Hello.
Good evening and welcome, Puti.
Good evening.
Puti, go ahead.
Self defense unit there, 1991 measure, from 90s, self defender, going guard and the likes. So, in other eating art, cinema self defense unit, or it doesn't gain eating art, because song has not food, fear soldiers, integrated soldiers. Now, I wanted to know that I had to go myself, but it is a bit of this kind. It doesn't like his place or a sense place, something.
Thanks, Busiso. One of the things that we did was to set up what is called the Department of Military Veterans.
Mm.
And as the ANC were able to bring all former military wings of liberation movements, we then went further as the ANC that military veterans can't be those that had been in exile and trained out of the country, and ignore those that faced the enemy directly, which are the SDUs. I was part of them, by the way. So we've emphasized the need to integrate them, and there is a process now that is led by Comrade Paul Mashatile, the Deputy President, to deal with these issues. Was in our last conference held in East London, we agreed that they will also be part of those that must be supported by the Department of Military Veterans, but also be beneficiaries like any other military veteran. The process is tedious, but I know in Gauteng they've already started to integrate them in terms of crime prevention. We are working together with Comrade Mamuluku in terms of access to housing. There is work that is now unfolding with Comrade Plate in Zimande on reskilling. And another thing, it's about debriefing. Debriefing people also, it's very important to help
It's taken a long
people
time.
People overcome this. The deep briefing, and I agree with you, very, very, very true. I mean, it's something that we now do ad hoc. And I think as the ANC and South Africa, we need to make sure that the Department of Military Veterans take those things, because it's supposed to be about the well-being of former combatants.
Yeah. My guest is Nopula Mukanyane. And look, let's be honest. It's late, right? So I have to look after my guests after certain hours and make sure they're comfortable. So I still appreciate you coming through. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. I want to go quickly to Peter in First Lawrence. Peter, thanks for your patience, my brother. Thanks for calling. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Pimula. Good evening, Mrs. Mukanyane.
Good evening, Bob Peter.
Na question aka it based on a social grant as social. I can receive the 350-370. So I understand or if ever Honali should take a more continue how then the banana or key source of income. So and that as an example in that competition like a Kaya FN community competition, last time community competition and then it decline is come first. So give a thought image at first. This thing is not a source of income, but also a source of income because competition comes once, I think, every month. So, how do I recognize a source of income and then in decline, I'll call it 370 or 350 because as a source of income, check the competition. You go back and check, hurry, this money is what I can save it, I can pay yes, I can pay tax. So, how can it be a source of income? What's the meaning of source of income? Because we want to email a phone call center, I think I explain it, but still, it come back by the appeal, come back, yeah, right. No, it's a source, it's a source of income. How can competition, if you win a competition, one payment, your competition, and can I leave a number of twins back in a school, so I'm going to pay it to 70 you. Okay, as Libata Redding to the right to South African. So, which means ANC, Ibata Hotel, Laurona, Tobas, Replica 350, Kapaka 37. How can we survive? Thank you. I listen to you, Mr. Kunya.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
Yes, Peter, you're raising a very important issue. In actual fact, this is another hurdle that we are trying to perfect. Based on the assessment of the 2019-2024 manifesto. Pimelo, this does not only affect somebody who's wearing lotto only, or competition, whatever. A woman who receives a child support grant gets disqualified.
Even pensioners.
From getting the 350. Somebody who is on pension, because the assumption was you don't have any other source of income. But I want to come back. A pensioner, I can understand. But imagine a Nomvula being a mother to a little baby born, but the father to this child gets the 350. I get the child support grant because it's the grant that must help me to look after the child, not the grant that must help me to go and look for a job. Because the 350, 370 is supposed to be for such issues. So it's those things that require us to review the implementation of such policies. Because there's nothing wrong with the policy. The issue is, again, in its implementation, it discriminates against people like
Peter. Who still have the need.
Yes, and where's the single mothers who now have to buy their toiletry and buy the pampers and Peter who just won a competition once off. So it's those areas that we are reviewing. And Comrade Lindy has been assigned, working together with the Department of Finance to revisit those grey areas.
The President has just announced, well, the Presidency has just announced that the NHI will be signed into
Wednesday.
On Wednesday, for all of us to see publicly. Very big moment, I'm sure, for the ANC.
A major breakthrough, the issue of the NHI. As I'm talking to you, we actually got this exciting message. And one of the things that is so important about it, it's not about us pushing to undermine the private sector or the medical aids. It's about being able to, again, deal with inequalities in our country. Mm. Secondly, access to the resources and the services. You'll remember that there was a period in South Africa where there was a huge a public sector strike. And pregnant mothers, babies were left deserted, sick people in our hospitals. The private sector in South Africa came out very handy, being patriotic. And some actually stepped into our public hospitals and they came out amazed that, wow, we didn't know that you've got these facilities. I was the premier then. We didn't know that you've got these facilities. They had to take the newly born babies to their own private hospitals. But for other older people, they came to our public hospitals. The issue that is an outcry, the issue of medical aids. We know, as a matter of fact, even now, that people exhaust their medical aids and then go to the public sector. And some people get the best of the services. Look at the clinics in Limpopo under the stewardship of Dr. Poppy Ramatuba. I mean, we've got equipment and facilities that are state of the art. What we need is to enter into a social compact between our health practitioners, those who are in the front line, as well as those that are supposed to oversee the health sector, that the issue of accountability, the issue of maintenance, the issue of diversifying, so that then you don't have people having to go to a hospital when they're supposed to go and collect their, you know, prescriptions and stuff. The private sector stands to benefit, because you can then go with your prescription to any pharmacy, you can go to any institution, and the state will continue to actually compensate for Nomvula, who has been referred there.
There is a voice note coming through from Piri. Let's take a listen.
What I just want to get from your guest is when or if they get back into power to govern the affairs of this country, can they please give us a deadlines or timelines as to when they are going to achieve real economic emancipation for the people of the country? Can they give us exact date and time as to when Alex is going to be similar to Santin? So when inequality is going to be eradicated, when all the crimes are going to be eliminated, and when are we going to be free as a society and women can walk and have their lives freely in the country? It's about time we get real timelines of when the achievements will be made. Thank you.
You have commented on the fact that 30 years is not enough when you look at the history of this country, over 100 years of oppression before
300.
That. And that it would take time. But I suppose there's a balancing act. We have to take what he says quite seriously to say, when will not everybody, I don't assume everybody, but when will the ANC be satisfied with its own goals and say, we've done well here? You keep telling us that you review, you assess, and you yourselves are not yet satisfied. He says, tell us the date. I'm not sure you can tell us the date and time, but maybe let me give you an opportunity to do that.
No, ideally we should be saying by this time everything will be honky-dory, but it will be very unscientific. It will be very unscientific. As I've shared with you, the statistics now of everything is over 80% in terms of access to basic services. We now have all said, let's focus now on the economy, let's focus on infrastructure, let's focus on skilling, let's focus on creation of jobs, let's focus on fighting crime. So, Piri, what I can attest is, let's see how far we'd have traveled once we realize NDP Vision 2030. Mm-hmm. Let's come and check that. And because we have committed ourselves that on an annual basis and periodically through our local government, we'll go back and account to South Africans. Just for this coming five years, we've committed ourselves to create not less than 3.2 million jobs, and there is a plan. Like I've said, the logistics, the issues around agriculture, transport, as well as telecommunication, mining. So it's that we have given ourselves a target on, but it will be very unfortunate of me if I can really come with the time and the date. But I understand the frustration, and the thing that we will have to do is to continuously be in close contact with South Africans so that we periodically give them a progress. And there must also be a social impact of the things that we are doing.
Yeah. So you've spoken about infrastructure, the things that you would like to see happen to encourage this economy to move forward. Many have criticized the actual economic policy itself currently, that government's holding back, government is not spending, the austerity that we're going through is in itself delaying the process. Why are we not pumping money into the economy so that the government, the economy can kickstart itself in a way? Because you know, you spoke about NHI, for instance, what needs to happen in hospitals. There's a strain of resources. Even if you have oversight, it is difficult. It's difficult because there are fewer doctors and so on, and because resources are becoming fewer and fewer. Don't you think it's time to perhaps review the economic policy?
Government has to be an enabler.
Yes.
That's what government must do. Government must have conducive regulations that do not actually create a strain.
Mm-hmm.
Government must also create incentives so that then, together with the private sector, we can help to grow our economy. Primarily, government's responsibility is on issues that are both predominantly are social, in terms of housing, but the spin-offs thereof in terms of manufacturing of those goods and services is also dependent on how the private sector actually thrives. Key to that is that it may not be policy.
Mm-hmm.
It might be about an integrated approach in terms of implementation of the different economic trajectories of this country, which for now it has been quite fragmented, and we've also not encouraged local investment and dependent and assumed that our economy can only grow through foreign direct investments. Of course, those are also quite important. Mm. But there's a lot of potential in our country, and there's also what we have resolved, that even with our mineral resources, we must desist from making sure that avoiding beneficiation. We need to create new industries. We need to protect the steel industry. We need to ensure that we have the appropriate skills for the economy of this country. So what is coming out of the pipeline of the education system must be for the economy of our country.
When you say avoid, is there a sense that we have been avoiding to do that just so that we can allow others to actually take the resources and
beneficiate? Yes, we've been avoiding because there's no law that prohibits us.
Hmm.
And it's us who have come to realize that. And what has also been quite heartening is that even the Youth League, you'll remember for over 10 years we had an absent Youth League.
Yes.
The Youth League has also come out very strong on it, and they were able to influence our policy processes and the manifesto. And you had the president in Mpumalanga again coming and say, this is unavoidable.
But who stood to benefit?
Who stood to benefit? In the main, it has been a big business and not any emerging. Those who are emerging have remained emerging. They've never actually graduated to being self-reliant. And those that also stood to benefit are those that have been historically advantaged. And hence, that review of the 2019-2024 manifesto and the 30-year review informed us on the manifesto to say, let's change gear. This is unavoidable.
I have one last voice note for you before I let you go. Henry has sent us a voice note.
Menom vola ke kopa ngwaneso ka mogotse re tene ile ka teng ge le ma Afrika borwa ha re sa batla re ne re etse di excuse a ke re tloeleng ho blame ana le mafu a siyo engwa etsalang mme 30 years ka ofela COVID ntse le teng ha iyo mme ha ke re tloeleng ho bua ka nthotse siyo mme mokonyana mmuso wa rona wa African National Congress o re lemaditse re le ma Afrika borwa mme ha le thola le sheba jwalo ka ha o ne o le premier ya Gauteng o reng ka madulo kapa di residential area so di bonang ka hara toropo ya CBD mo ho nkuwang lefatshe la bo rona ke batho ba tswang ka ntle ebile ba ba hirisetse rona ma Afrika borwa ha ona nex ntho tse di etsang bana besong hona tjena jwalo ka ha le tseba gore ke pelong ya South Africa hona moo mme le kabe le tlile le hlaola ntho e nngwe le nngwe le re bontsha rona le gona tjena ke ga o eme ntate ona wa sushi fela a le mongwe le go kae ka nako eo ga leyo mme
se botlhokwa se tlameileng gore re se tlalose gantle ntle kore mathata a o a tlaisang tate ka nnete ke mathata a re tshwenyang le rona ka ofela re ne re le lenaneong teng mo na Gauteng o tla gopola gore ka nako ya ntate Paxi ka nako ya ntate Jeff Makhubu le ka nako ya ntate Jolidi no go na le lenaneo le se le qadilwe ke dimeyara tsa pele bo ntate Mogase tsa o tlabolola ina city ya rona se bileng sa etsagala ke gore go bonagetse gore ditulo tse ngata tse ka gara ina city ya rona ke madulo a seng matsogong a mmuso. You have the absent landlords. Secondly, ra hopola hape hore e se le dilemo tse fetang tse mashome mo mokgatlo wa African National Congress ha ne o se o le motjeng wa o lukisa di inner city tsa rona our CBD ho bileng hang ka mmuso wa Democratic Alliance ha ke na mmuso wa Patriotic Alliance le jwale rena le mmuso wa Tlhakanelo ntho tsena tse ka ofela di re rutile hore ha re sebedisaneng re be le ntho e bitswang district development model mo mmuso wa hodimo le mmuso wa mahareng le mmuso wa mahaeng ba tseba ho sebedisana mmoho so that re se ke be ra ba le mathata hore ha o le metro o ikemetse ha o batle letsoho le lengwe le kenang haholo-haholo letsoho le tlhagang mmusong wa porofense kapa mmusong wa hodimo ntho tse o bile ga e sa le dilo tse re batlang go di etsa gore e be di-excuse and hence re na le yona district development model ebile re na le batho every minister is a champion of a particular district hona jwale I'm sure dibeke not dibeke beke fitileng re bone ntate Panyaza a tlaisa tshebelopele ya puso ya Gauteng e bontshang hore re tlo kenella jwang re hlakole mafilo a rona re ahe botsa because also Pimelo we can't only be talking about existing townships and CBDs. We need to build new cities. So what Comrade Panyaza also raised in line with our district development model and an integrated plan for the future of Gauteng is exactly where we are now. And the most important thing that we want to urge South Africans to do is let's come out in our numbers. We lost Johannesburg for over 10 years. We have not been in charge. All those programs that were championed by Paxi Tau were put aside. The opposition never wanted to collaborate or collude with the ANC-led government in Gauteng and in the country. You will remember my parting shot. We had a plan called the Erythropolis for Ekurhuleni. Mm-hmm. When people didn't come out to vote for the ANC, that time it was under Comrade Mondli Gungubele. Comrade Mondli was the mayor of the city of Ekurhuleni. We were far advanced, including international partners and stuff. As Mzwandile was rolling it out, I'm sure you, as you move towards OR, you can see new industries and the implementation. Then we lost Ekurhuleni, and all that actually was put in abeyance. And it is those things, without sounding defensive, why we are urging, because we do enjoy the support. We urge every supporter of the ANC, even though now we know that we are going to win. Let's not stay at home and say, vele, vele, si winil. Come out and vote so that then we can reclaim and prepare for the coming local government elections and avoid issues of coalitions and collaboration with those that do not seek to transform our neighborhoods.
The first SG of the ANC, I really appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you coming through. That's the first Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, Nombula Mokonyane. Appreciate you coming. I know it's quite a busy season for you. We know you're on the road, so your coming through in person is really appreciated.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.